spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside. We are standing on an endless horizon.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, Earthlings, and those of you listening in galactic interstellar radio station WTFU. We're heard weekly on blue planets, green planets, black planets, and all shades of gray chiaroscuro planets, and plantations in the slave worlds and garden locations in the free worlds, some of which are present on the same planet. Our usual audience is composed of rainbow warriors and random freebooters of all types and descriptions. Occasionally we transmit into the reptile corridors and private Illuminati clubs and configurations of leather booths with bronze or copper buttons, where venal entities of presumed privilege converse in hushed whispers, having to do with selfish gain and recreational pain bestowed on all those beneath them, at least in the deluded confines of their perverted minds. Tonight we're in the saucer pod, floating about and occasionally hovering above the hot spots that are created and maintained by criminal intelligence agencies and SFFHs, from Henry Kissinger to hilarious Clinton, representing or bought and paid for by a nasty little cabal of perpetuating neo-Nazis from a fictitious and imaginary nation of the most predatory psychopaths on Earth, who may or may not be under the control of even darker elements from invisible locations on the astral plane. They'll be getting swept out into the manifest by the Avatar's broom sooner or later when the time comes for it. That won't be too soon, and it can't be soon enough. We always feel compelled to mention some amount of this in the beginning of the show, but we soon tire of it because talking about these freaks and misanthropes is irritating and depressing. Probably as much for the listener as it is for me. It's my way of putting into perspective where we are in terms of climate and environment in the manifest sense, but not in the personal sense, since this is the only way things look and not how they really are. Well, only the way things look. It depends on the individual what we do or do not buy into. I don't believe in any of it, and it is my recommendation that you don't either. The power of the darkness? It rests entirely on its capacity to get us to buy into it. The same way the commercials are designed to convince us of the value of certain products that generally contain no value, and often quite a lot of harm. It's like a Monsanto press release or propaganda effort to convince us of its value, importance, and usefulness when harm and agonizing death are its only product. Monsanto is rightly translated as my Satan. And like most ugly things associated with the twisted commerce of the times, it's a tribe enterprise. Of course, we need to and do keep in mind that not all businessmen and women are evil. Not all products are bad. Not all food is poisonous. Not all of anything is the same in value and kind. There are always exceptions, and sometimes exceptions to the majority in relation to the general appearance we get in the main. Not all media is poisonous. Not every TV show and book is a load of crap. A man's poison is another man's antidote. Nothing is what it seems to be, and nothing is entirely what it does not seem to be either, even though we might have some trouble defining what that something is, or does appear to be, since we can't analyze or interpret it if it doesn't appear to our perceptions on some level. The divine is like this. It is beyond our comprehension, so we have all kinds of experts and authorities who are more than willing to tell us all about it. They can't be refuted because no one in a position to contradict them is in a position to contradict them except to say, I don't know. And to be pretty sure that no one else does either, no matter what they say. This doesn't stop them from building religions so that their priests can steal everything the government doesn't get its hands on first. Religions are the business end of temporal deception. It's like a gigantic, visible, and palpable wall designed to block one's vision from what lies beneath, behind, or above. Take your pick of what suits you. Many people hate religions for this reason and throw the baby out with the bathwater at the same time. Most people who have a resentment against spiritual things, when you get right down to it with them, are actually resentful of religion, as if it were the same thing. You might wonder how people can be that dumb when it comes to what is and is not germane to the ancient argument about what composes the seen as opposed to the unseen. The level of difficulty increases when you realize how this affects one's ability to interpret the seen effectively in the first place. The truth is that people want to avoid the simplicity or enduring truth because it gets in the way of what they want. In order to justify what they want, they need to obscure and deny what is. This is also ancient and goes back to the primary deceptions that imprison people in false worlds of their own creation. Clearing one's mind of all the lies manufactured by the mind in order to preempt the will of the divine allows one to come into the presence of the divine because the veils between have been lifted or incinerated by true seeing. True seeing comes about when there is no longer deception resident as a barrier. That validates our personal arguments in defense of what we think we want because we don't know what we want. This grants the necessary permissions for the prince of the world to be our regent. What follows is that we embrace confinement as if it were some kind of a protection when there is no protection but the presence and company of the divine and his qualities. The qualities are the protection, and they are given as replacements for the shortcomings we hold on to that identify us as members of the fallen. The interesting reality is that we know in some part of ourselves the meaning of everything, but we close off the access in order to give meaning to everything here. Once we comprehend the transitory nature of all material phenomena, and a pain attendant to the drive for possession of any of it, the spiritual realm reveals itself to us, and we can see that everything in this world is a shadow. Oh, well, what do I know? I don't know much, but that doesn't matter a great deal if I know someone who does. These times in which we live are all about summing up in revelation. Either we are open to that or we are not. Possibly the transformations of the time will act in a salutary way and make it possible for many of us to be open to that. In other cases, the sleep may prove too deep or the resistance to change too great. That is an individual matter, and each of us will resolve or fail to resolve it in our own way. For those of us who are even able to consider all this, it is a fortunate thing indeed, because we can cooperate in the process. We can consciously ride the current and the tide to the magical shores of a land formerly concealed in mist, a land that is approaching us as we are approaching it. There are all sorts of things hidden in this world, right in front of us in some cases. Our vibrations have been at a certain pitch, and that pitch has not been equal to permitting our vision to see. We've been wandering in the kingdom of the blind for a long time. In some cases, some of us have made superhuman efforts that have resulted in being able to see ahead of our fellows. This has come about through grace, and it has come about through awakened cities, and perhaps by other means as well. Now the time has come when larger numbers of us are being given the opportunity to make a quantum leap. This is a rare time and a rare occasion. It does not come around very often, and it won't be back for a good long while again. Take advantage of it or not. That, too, is a personal affair. All the help you need is there. It's all there. We can tell ourselves that we have been deceived by others or by some powerful force. We can tell ourselves whatever we want to, but it's a cooperative deception. We are enablers and we are engaged as willing players, whether we wish to admit it or not, whether we have concealed it from ourselves or not. We're part of the problem and part of the solution, too. Well, what do I know? Still, like I said, if I know someone who does, and we all do, we all do. We just haven't tried as hard as we should or have in order to make that reciprocating contact that will take us where we really want to go. It's easier now than at most times because we have the willing insistence of the cosmos in the process. I was having some real problems with communication in recent times. It wasn't the same number as the Neptune has been doing on me, which started just before I went to Mexico and continued unabated through that period and seems to have eased off as I have come to understand its effect on me. This was something new, though both of them had to do with communication. I found myself saying things that were pretty clear to me but got taken woefully out of context by certain people. People showed up with axes to grind, and I wasn't even doing woodwork at the time. I was befuddled, and shame on me, even got a little angry, which I demonstrated with rhetoric at a higher pitch than is normal for me. I did it again today at Smoking Mirrors. I know what's causing it now, Mercury in retrograde, and I'm working to adapt and adjust. But as with anything where change is being applied, the results aren't immediate. We have to accept that and not swerve from our focus. Probably by the time I get it right, Mercury will be out of retrograde. But that's the way it goes. It doesn't mean we shouldn't apply ourselves to the problem in hand. At some point, this life will end too. Does that mean we don't work on the conditions that may well have a lot to do with why we are here in the first place, especially in terms of the circumstances, tests, and trials we find ourselves confronted with? Think about it. I've been learning more in recent times than I have in a good long while. My interactions with my invisible friends are far more clear, and my response time is far more immediate. This is how it can be in an apocalypse. The curve of the apocalypse is gradual in the beginning, and then it goes into a steep incline or decline, depending on how you're responding to the influence of it. This naturally reoccurring appearance is directly related to judgment and summing up. It is critically important how we react to the effect of the apocalypse. This determines whether the impact is benevolent or not benevolent. We cooperate with the change. We embrace the change, or we are changed. We have a choice, but we don't have a wide range of options. We're listening or we're not listening. And those who cannot hear must feel. We have the option of taking the hand of the agent of the divine, or that agent picks up a 2x4. Well, that's how it is. I don't mean to be overly dramatic or imply that the cosmos is hard-nosed and inflexible, but all of us know that if we do not learn our lessons, they come back upon us with a degree of increased severity. We know that when you get arrested for something for the first time, there's the possibility of leniency. The second time, it might not go so well. And the third time, it is definitely going to get worse. In this Kali Yuga, we know that justice is a joke, and there's no telling what may or may not come from the temporal realm. There are more people in prison in the U.S. by far than anywhere else in the world. And I just read that 80% of them are locked up for possession of drugs. This is all about supporting the interests of the private prison industry. It's all about corporations running the show at every level. Meanwhile, the government is the biggest drug dealer on the planet. Now, I recognize the hypocrisy and twisted agendas that confront us. None of what I exampled is directly related to what I said about cooperating with the apocalypse, but this is. Justice is comprehensive and absolute, no matter how it looks. Don't be deceived by appearances, and do not go in fear of temporal, corporate, or funny religious influences. The idea is to make you submissive to the way things look, so that you will be obliging to the intended confinement of your free spirit. I make you a prisoner of fear, while your faith in the greatest power of all is diminished. Reason this out. Make the connection. This is the greatest test. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Well, what to say? Where do you place your faith? In what you place your faith in, there lies your destiny. I never know about these radio shows. I hope they're helpful to the listener. My recent occupation with written works, spoken works, and whatever has been going on for a while. What I mean is all these blogs and, you know, the books I've been writing, the different things I've been doing, which haven't really gone anywhere except into the hands of the people that somehow came along. And I'm marginalized and a pariah on a lot of levels because of the things that I say. I mean, I'm not allowed any access to a wider audience, although I don't know how long that'll continue, and I'm not going to run around and whine and moan about it, because if you reach even a few people in this life, you've done something useful. And hopefully I've reached them in a good way, and it's been an assistance in their transformation, as those things that others have told me and the man I met on the beach have been helpful and an assistance in my transformation. But where am I headed? Where is it headed? I really don't know. Sometimes it seems to me to be a useful employment, even though there's no time card and no paycheck. These things seem to be taken care of on another level. These things also seem to be a testament to my faith in what I'm doing and who I'm working for. I'm not going to take the cosmos to task for keeping me out in the peripheral wilderness. So far, I haven't been reduced to eating locusts and honey. I don't even know what that's like, actually. nor have I been consigned to sackcloth and ashes. I can't complain. I could complain, but that too would imply a lack of faith and feedback upon the faith that it took to get here. So maybe the next step up or sideways is right around the corner. I don't know. See, I don't know what all it took to get here, where I am right now, before I got here. You know, in other lives and such. I do know what it took to get here since I got here. And my God, I mean, with all that, I mean, it's got to be worth it to me. I certainly shouldn't flag or fall aside at this point of the game. I should stay on and keep on keeping on, if you know what I mean. Anyway, my friends, we've come to the end of one more broadcast, and I'll see you next week, if there is one. May the good Lord surround, protect, and illuminate you during the interval until we meet again. That said, Hare Krishna, aloha, and aru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.